you're a parent of a student with special needs and you're working with the providers of services to your child, I'd like to hear how that's going, what sorts of contact you've had with the school and with the education professionals who were part of that team. We're at 866-893-KPCC. Also asking those who are special education teachers, a speech pathologist, occupational therapists, and others who work with students with special needs. And I know there are many other categories as well. I welcome your involvement, how you're navigating having your life change by working at home and your students being at home as you're providing services. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. As I mentioned, I see this up close with my wife, who's a speech pathologist, and you know, people say, wow, you sure love your work, and I do. I think my wife loves her work about as much as I do and loves the students with whom she works, most of whom are on the autism spectrum, and loves the team she works with and the school and all. But this has been a real roller coaster, and I'm sure she's not alone, that one day it's like, okay, we're ready to roll and things, and then the next day, oh, we've got another directive which upends this, and now we need that. And it's very, very difficult times for those who are delivering services to young students who are special needs. Joining me from EdSource, the educational publication, senior reporter Carolyn Jones, who covers special education. Carolyn, so good to have you with us.
Nice to be here.
So what are you hearing from all the people within your reader network about the challenges of converting this education and services to the home?
Well, just like you were saying, I think it's a really challenging and scary for some people time, not just for parents, but for teachers, too. Everyone's trying to sort of navigate this new world order. And it's not been smooth sailing in some places. In some places, it's actually going pretty well. So it's been a real mixed bag across California.
And also, when it comes to the technology that's being used, you know, there are concerns about Zoom bombing, concerns if you have kids that are in group settings about the privacy issues that are raised by that. How are different districts and states dealing with some of these new concerns that relate to technology?
Well, yeah, that's a really good question. And also just the question of getting the technology to the families is a big deal. Making sure every family has Wi-Fi hotspots as well as Chromebooks and that they know how to use them and they're getting the right tech support. And then also the right, you know, the teachers are using the right platforms, either Zoom or there's a bunch of them out there, Google Hangouts. And some schools are opting for one platform and other schools are opting for a different platform, and just sort of making sure that people know how it all works and the security settings are working and the privacy. So, yeah, it's been really tough times, especially for those in special ed.
Also joining us from the University of Southern California, Professor of Clinical Education, Margot Pensaval. She was a special education teacher for 16 years and now designs special education curricula for USC's Rossier School of Education. Professor Pensaval, thank you for being with us. What are the range of challenges that you're seeing?
Hi, Larry. You know, I've been talking to a lot of teachers and principals locally, and yes, it is a very challenging time and probably even more challenging for students with special needs. But I think we have to remember a couple things, that a lot of the students with special needs work and learn in general education classrooms, so they can be included in the kinds of formats that all kids in the classroom are being included in. A lot of the formats provide for smaller group learning, for one-on-one learning. And I think teachers, it has been my impression that teachers are really committed to reaching out to the kids who need a little bit extra support here and there. Now, there's a wide range. I think that's the challenge of special education. There's such a wide range of needs. So you mentioned that your wife works with students who are on the autism spectrum. Well, even on the spectrum, we have a wide range of needs. And I think that teachers are really committed to reaching out to students in that whole range. And we have individual education plans. And I think that those right now are our guides. and the teachers are trying to work with those the best they can.
I was mentioning my wife did a Zoom assessment of one of the students on her caseload and came out, she's just exhausted because trying to deal with all that's new for her is other people who are doing this and working with the parent to try and make sure the environment at home is right to do something like that. All of this, very, very challenging for everybody. And for the parents who are dealing with this, you know, and their special needs child may not be the only child and trying to, you know, work at the same time, going through the economic challenges of this, for parents, it is an extraordinarily challenging time. And if that's you, I'd like to hear from you, 866-893-KPCC. Phoebe in Garden Grove, I understand you're a speech pathologist. So what have you encountered in trying to do your therapy online?
Yes. Since switching to distance learning, I think one of the challenging things is the issue of equity, making sure that all special education students have access to our remote learning tools. And then one of the challenges I've been facing as a speech pathologist is, are we being culturally and linguistically sensitive? Some families don't have internet access, don't have the technology. And on top of that, the parents might be bilingual and not be as familiar accessing technology like Zoom or Google Classrooms that we are now utilizing. So that's been a bit of a challenge in.
Yeah. And how do you do that? Do you actually help them navigate getting the free internet access that's being provided by some of the companies? Or
I think switching to distance learning, a lot of my time in the day now, a big portion of it has almost been a bit of that IT portion, making sure parents have access and are able to log on, whether that means talking to them on the phone and walking them through it, things like that, just to help them have that access.
And does your district provide Chromebooks or anything for students who don't have access to the hardware?
Yes, we kind of did a poll with the parents and the students, and those who didn't have it, we were able to lend them Chromebooks.
Okay, very good. So then it's a matter of just getting them the broadband access to be able to do this. Have you been able to deliver distance therapy so far, Phoebe?
Yes, I've started to, you know, post assignments and activities and lessons online, as well as meet with students and push in with the entire class on online platforms.
Very good. Phoebe, thank you so much. Speech pathologist in Garden Grove joining us on Air Talk. We're at 866-893-KPCC or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. I'd like to hear from you if you are someone who works with students with special needs, a special education teacher, maybe you're a general classroom instructor who has a significant number of students with special needs. How are you working with them, with the parents in the households that are involved, if you're an occupational therapist, speech pathologist, or other provider of special services, 866-893-KPCC, the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk Facebook page. Just send us a message there. We'll continue our conversation with USC professor Margot Penceval, who's professor of clinical education and herself a special education teacher for 16 years, and from EdSource, the education publication, Carolyn Jones, senior reporter who's been writing extensively about the challenges of providing special education in the era of COVID-19. We'll be back in 1 minute. Coming up next hour on Air Talk, we're going to talk with listeners who have businesses that are closed or significantly downsized because of COVID-19 restrictions, to ask you what it'll take to get your business back up and running and what changes there might be in its operations if your employees are working from home. are you going to consider having many of them continue to do that? Might you need a smaller office going forward? How has this process changed the way you're likely to work going forward and operate your business? And what are the things that you're going to need to reestablish either the product or the service that you offer? That's coming up next hour on Air Talk. Right now, we're talking with families who have special need kids. What's going on with the school where your child attends? What sorts of services are you getting? What are the obstacles in obtaining those? If you are a provider of special education services, a teacher, a therapist, a clinician, I'd like to hear from you how you're doing that. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Carolyn Jones, senior reporter at EdSource. You know, one of the issues for schools, of course, is funding. What's reimbursable? And in some cases, at least as I understand through my wife, therapy itself is the service that actually is quantifiable, billable. Providing support materials doesn't necessarily fall under the same sort of thing. And so I wonder for school districts that obviously are also concerned about funding, how they deal with this.
Well, that's a great question. I think also school districts are very concerned about getting sued over under the special ed laws because everything is so inconsistent and up in the air right now. So they're worried about paying for this, but then also lawsuits further down the road. And that's something that's going up to the federal level right now with Betsy DeVos scheduled to make some kind of recommendations in the next week or two about, you know, granting some kind of temporary waivers to the special ed laws to make things a little bit easier for school districts. But on the other hand, that's kind of enraged some disability rights activists and parents on the other side.
Yeah, and so Carolyn, under the current law, is it that special education services need to be provided commensurate to what's going on with the typical general education provided distance-wise?
Yes, exactly. Under this federal special ed law, which dates from 1973, all students are entitled to, you know, free, high-quality public education that's appropriate to their abilities. So for kids in special ed, that could mean, you know, very individualized instruction. So, and right now, that's really hard to deliver. School districts are trying really hard, and I know individual teachers are just being heroic and trying to make sure that this happens, but it's tough. It's tough times right now, so school districts are a little bit leery about what happens next. So that's why they're asking for a little bit of relief from the federal government.
Yeah, Margot Bentsoval, University of Southern California. What sort of realistically should parents expect during this time when they're having such a challenge providing what their special needs child needs while at home?
Yeah, I was listening to Carolyn, and I think all the policy issues and the funding issues and all that are really up in the air right now, and it provides a lot of insecurity for parents. I think on the same point, the parents I've spoken to are really optimistic. Yes, they're scared. Yes, they're challenged. But the teachers are reaching out. And I think that at USC, one of the things we always teach is make sure your parents are on your team. And this is particularly true with kids with special needs. It's a team approach. And I think that there could be, you know, a renewed kind of connection that comes out of this. I know this may sound a little Pollyanna, but when the parents are working with the teachers and the teachers are reaching out to the families, I think there is the opportunity here to serve the kids in probably not the same way. I mean, we have to remember, this has been going on for a short time. Two of those weeks in LAUSD were spring break. So they're just coming back to school. And I think this is the time where things are going to start to gel. And I'm optimistic that things will start to work out. I mean, you know, special education in and of itself is a challenge. So I think working it out remotely is just going to give us one more layer to resolve.
Guyani, listener in Compton, says, I have a special needs child, and I'd like to have them receive occupational therapy, speech therapy services. The school's offered some resources, but I need to know how to be able to get more of this for my child. Professor Pensival, you have any advice for her on that?
Well, I think that obtaining services is probably it's going to go through the same, route. You're going to have to go to your district. You're going to have to get those services approved. And occupational therapist, as opposed to physical therapy, I think can be done remotely. Again, the services are going to have to be approved. The funding needs to be approved, and that will come through the district. And it's probably going to take a little tenacity right now. So I would just advise her to find somebody to connect with in her district and just keep, figuring out how to get those services for her child.
And individual educational plans, IEPs, those are still expected to be done, right? Even with the additional challenge of doing that from a distance.
So far, that may be one of the things that Secretary DeVos might be commenting on. But right now, individual education plans are in order. They are ongoing, and students should be requiring those services, yes.
And for many special needs students, summer is a key point, as it can be for all students. But your thoughts about is it important for the district to continue offering the services as they typically would in the summer, Professor?
Oh, that's a really good question. Generally the districts run pretty robust special education programs during the summer, depending again on what the needs of the students are and what their IEPs say. I mean, it may be. I read in the New York Times that everything was going to be pushed back into the summer and early start in the fall. And that was the New York public school system. We don't know what's going to happen. And again, I think that we're just trying to work out a network in place. But I think given the need for consistency amongst many children with special needs, those kinds of programs in the summer would certainly serve them well.
And Carolyn Jones of EdSource, what is the process for the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education, to potentially relax the special education mandate?
Well, Betsy DeVos will make some recommendations, or perhaps no recommendations, to Congress at the end of the month. That was part of the CARES Act that passed in late March. And then Congress will decide, to accept or reject her recommendations. And then might get wrapped into the next coronavirus aid bill that comes after that.
And then
so
goes
that's the
to
process.
And then goes to the president for his signature?
Correct.
All right. Carolyn Jones, senior reporter at EdSource, the online education-based publication. She covers special ed for EdSource. And Margot Pensival, University of Southern California professor of clinical education and for many years a special education teacher herself before moving into higher ed. And she designs curricula for Students with Differences Corridor of USC's Masters of Arts in Teaching program. Thank you both for being with us. Coming up in our next hour on Air Talk, if you've got a business, you're thinking about what it's going to take to reopen it and whether your work environment might change, maybe more people working remotely, I invite you to call 866-893-KPCC. Please tell us all about it.